Okay, it is 6 o'clock. And we are on Kuf Amud Beis. We're middle of going through the beneficial sayings or statements made by Ben Sira. Kuf Amud Beis. We are up to 1, 2, 3, fourth wide line from the top of the wide lines. We said this yesterday. Keep the multitude out of your house. We said that with Mashah, that it doesn't mean necessarily. Well, then the next part he says, even those you let into your house, don't let them in on a constant basis. Mashah says, we're talking about into the inner sanctum of your house. Like your house has the front rooms where guests can come, and you can be in Machnas Eirach, you can bring Aniyim. Then there's areas in your house that should be off limits, because bringing people in there will cause fights and kedaima. Rabim yir darshish shalomecha. Many people should be ones who ask about your peace, meaning be a person that is beloved by everybody. Rashi, Rabim yir darshish shalomecha. Rashi's in the second column. Shetemis adam akol should be loved by everybody. Rabba became, and even though that is true, the next part of Ben Sira's thing, back to the Gemara, Gali soitcha l'echad me'yalof. Only reveal your secrets to one of a thousand. Meaning you have a lot of friends, but only make sure you pick your real friend, the one you trust. Back to the Rashi, Abba became the Sagala Soitcha l'kulam, Elo l'yachad me'yalof. Be a beloved person, be a sociable person, get along with people. Everybody should have positive things to say about you, and you should have positive things to say about everybody. But that doesn't mean that everybody is the one you reveal all your inner secrets to. Keep that to one of a thousand. B'shecheves chaykha shmar pischei picha. From your wife, who's called shecheves chaykha, watch the openings of your mouth. Now, Rashi doesn't say anything here. So, I think that is that a person has to be careful, even with his own spouse, not to say things that will lead her to misunderstand. The Chofetz Chaim talks about a person should not share gossip with his wife. Person shouldn't share gossip with his wife because it will lead his wife to think lower of him amongst other people as well. I think maybe that's what it means. Does he say another shot in this? Does he bring from anybody on this? No. I'll touch it, Tzaris Machar.
What does he say?
Because she
inadvertently divulged.
Oh, yeah. So he's saying that she doesn't keep a secret.
Share your secrets, not necessarily like in heart.
Right, I understand. I didn't see anybody say, I didn't see this, Mashal. I have thought the Chofetz Chaim said, but right here, Mashal says it because she might not keep it secret. I'll touch the Tzara as Malchur, because I say to my Yula Jaim. Don't worry about... Nobody lies, excuse me. No, a person cannot lie to his wife. No, absolutely not.
I mean, say things that are...
It was the Rebbeinu Shlalem didn't tell Avram the whole story that Sarah had said. Nobody lied. And I say two things and you repeat one, that's what the Rebbeinu Shlalem did.
He changed it around a little bit.
Well, she said, she's saying she's old. Right? Like she said, is it possible that these insides can carry a baby? And then she said, Vadai Nizakin. And the Rebbeinu Shlalem quoted her, Vadai Nizakanti. Which is according to one of the Pshatim Rashi. So, again, he didn't say the whole statement.
But again, it's on perception.
Why are we getting? We're not learning Chumash now.
Chaim speaks about that at all. But I never had a chance to discuss
that. Maybe we should. Maybe it's a very important thing.
I'm not biased to the shoe that a Rebbe gives her once a night, wherever it's at.
Yes.
But I'm saying, is there anything in regards to that, husband or wife? You
let it say something. I want you to say this. How long Dr. Shalom is not written for husband and wife? It's written for every person in the world. Why do you think there's any difference in the relationship of husband and wife and anybody else? It's not like you're mutal l'shanah to your wife may dark your shalom. It's mutal l'shanah to everybody may dark your shalom, whatever that means.
There are parameters.
Right. I'll touch it, Tzaris Machar, because I say the Mayula Jain. Don't worry tomorrow's worry, because one doesn't know what will happen today. Shemel Makre Nenu. Might be that the guy won't be there around tomorrow. He's worried about something trying to kill him. Why are you worried about what's going to happen? One never knows if you're going to be there, so why worry? That's what Ben Sira says. Some are, this is Rashi's chapter, Rashi. Maybe he won't be there. Shemais, he died. Shemais, why yay? The nimta Shemais, Yayim, Shein, Asad, Liras. He's worried about a day he'll never see. Ainu, Elam, Shein, Shalai, Shemit, Sara. If he worries about the day, Gachinim, he worries about nothing. Yayim, Amakra, Shalai, Taval, and Sara. He's worried about the problems coming. He won't be there to see the problem anyway. So what's he worried about? These are the good things. We're saying over the good things in Mamsira. He's saying your Latin say, Darshan, the good things of Mamsira. And he's quoting the good things that we can learn from Mamsira. Now, some learn L'Mashem L'Mocher Einenu means that Sarah won't be there. But that's not what Rashi says. There are Mepharshim that want to learn perhaps that Sarah will go away. Why worry about tomorrow's problem that might not occur? And you're wasting your worries. You get ulcers for no reason. Rashi learns, why worry about tomorrow's problems? Maybe the person won't be there to worry about them anyway, so why bother? Kol Yimei Ani Roim. Right? This is a pasuk in Mishlei. All days of a poor person are bad. Meaning, and the pasuk ends, V'tayvay Mishtatamid, a person who has a good heart drinks always. Meaning, the pasuk contrasts the rich and the poor. Even though the Gemara is going to be bothered by the contrast of Ani and Tayvay, which should be Ani Usher. Tayvay doesn't seem to be opposite of an Ani. But the pasuk does say, the part we're zeroing in on now, Kol Yimei Ani Roim. The poor person has difficult days. He has trouble making ends meet. He's got trouble putting food on the table. So Ben Sira Eimer, Ben Sira adds, Af Leilois. Even his nights are difficult. When the world goes to rest and people go to sleep, even he has trouble with that. Why? Because Yishval Gagim Gagai. Because he's poor, his roof ends up being lower than everybody else's roof. And even if he can afford a vineyard, it's usually at the heights of the mountain. Therefore, when it rains, everybody else's water washes off onto his roof because he's the lowest spot. I'm offer karma to krumim. And when he has nice dirt, topsoil to grow crops in, the wind comes and blows it away because he's at the highest point. So even his nights aren't so good. It rains, he feels it in his house because the rain from the neighborhood converges on his house because he's the lowest point. The Mashal learns there's two parts to this. One is that his house is the lowest and people can stand on their roofs and look right into his house. His house becomes exposed because he's in a lower level. They can look down into his house and makes it difficult, plus the fact that it rains on him. And his vineyard is at the top of the mountain, so he has to schlep up. And when he gets up there, he sees that all the dirt that he schlepped up last time is gone this time because the wind blew it away. So Leoni's got life difficult. So even his nights are difficult. So Rashi, yes.
Hold still, turn like that. His nights are difficult because when he finally gets up in the morning tomorrow, he still owes $100,000.
Yeah, but that's not his life. His life is to go to sleep.
It's not going to bother him. It's not like you finished all, everything is like done. Next morning.
See, that's included in Kol Yimei Ani Roim. He was trying to say there's an added facet to what's bad for the Ani. What you're saying is an extension of Kol Yimei Ani Roim. And what he's saying is a new concept of afleilos. Rashi, Kol Yimei Ani Roim v'Tayvei Mishta, it's a pasuk group of Mishlei, it's a pasuk of Mishlei. Shvah Gagim Gagai, Shani, who he's poor. Reini Yochel Lagvia can't lift up his roof. Levikachim Kar Gagim Lagagai. When the rain of the roofs comes down to his roof, Shiarid Matra Gagim Agvayim Lagagai. The high roofs come down to his roof, and Mizalf Malaf Hakshem, they drip on the Veilim, and Nukha Pilav Alayim, they can't even rest at night. Mraim Harim Karma, Shainla, Asankas Yad, cannot afford Liknes Kerem to buy a vineyard, the Shvela in the lowland, Bedamim Yakarim, for expensive. So the Kainalay Bechad Menaharim Bezul, so when he finally can buy it, buys it one of the mountain's sheep. Chalavar Shumbaiti Lazavel, and all the dirt that he schleps out for fertilizer, the wind takes it away to somebody else's vineyard, but him Tzani lives it and he ends up losing on the deal. That's the Gemara Vayter. Simon Zera, Rav, Mishar, Shechanina, Tavya, Yana, Yafa, Yechanan, Merachim, Yeshua, Mekatzer. Okay, so we'll see what this means. Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav, so that's the Zera. Vayter Siv, call you may Ani Roim. What's bothering, the proportion speak out, what's bothering is the contrast with Ani and Tavlev. Ani is poor. The contrast of poor is rich. Tayvlev means one who's good heart, relaxed. The contrast of one who's Tayvlev is somebody who's Ralev. Not Tayvlev, so why is it Ani and Tayvlev? So he says, Koyime Ani Roam Elu Bali Talmud. This refers to people who learn Gemara. It's very hard. It's difficult. Gemara is hard. It's a toil on Gemara. So it's called Yemei Ani Royim. He feels very poor. When a person learns Gemara, he feels like he hasn't gotten anywhere. He doesn't really understand it to its depth. But at the same time, he's toiling away. The ones that learn Mishnayos are relaxed. Right? They're not necessarily rich because they're lacking in knowledge, but they're very relaxed. And they can take it easy and they can drink and relax. They know it all. Mishnayos is easy to know. It's Gemara that's difficult to know. Because the Gemara is all the questions and answers and understandings. Mishnayos are basically facts. And if one doesn't learn the Gemara with the Mishnayos, simple. And therefore, he's a tayv lev, takes it easy. Rava says the opposite. It says in the pasuk, "Masia avonim yosav behem." One who moves stones will be depressed through them. Elu bali mishnah, because that is you learn and then you realize you really don't know what to do with them. The mishnayos. Now what do I do with ma'isa? Where am I going? The mekaya etzi misachem bam. But if you chop wood, you get to warm yourself up by them. Elu bali talmud. You toil through a sugya. It's very difficult work. At the end of the day, you know what you're doing. You know the halacha. We can't paskin halacha from Mishnayos, but halacha is based on Gemara. Now, we wouldn't paskin halacha from the Gemara because our lack of understanding to the depth of the Gemara. But the way halacha is formed is through the Gemara, and then the Rishayim who paskin from based on the Gemara. So the Bali Talmud know what they're doing. So yes, they chop the wood, but at the end of the day, they get to warm up with it. Whereas the one who moved the stones is a very depressing, hard job, and he's not ready at all to use it at its current form. It still needs a lot of work so he can get to use the stone.
You have to come on to halacha. You have to come on to a deeper understanding. I mean,
I think Rashi says Yadu Lahiris. That's where I got it from. And the same thing here. Ani Royim is the Bali Mishnah. At the end of the day, he's poor. He learned Mishnayos, but he can't do anything with it. And Tayv Lev Mishnah Talmud might have worked, but at the end of the day, he's partying. He knows what to do. Rashi. The right kushyas v'sugya sheyesh bai. Many questions and sugyas. Mishnah neichalom, it's easy to learn. Gavam melipcha. The Bali Talmud nanim yigiyai. They have pleasure from their work. Sheyadu lo hayris yisav ahetzer. Av Bali Mishnah shaynim, they learn v'eini yidei mahu. Aymi, he doesn't know what he's talking about. They ain't bayir halacha, but they have Mishnah. At the end of the day, he can't pass it. Now, the Mashah says an interesting shot in the Pasuk, Masiyah avonim yo'atzev behem, u'bekeya eitzim yisachem bam. But I don't know whether it fits into this Gemara or it's some Ibshat in the Pasuk. He says the Yetzihara is, I think it's the Mashah, the Yetzihara is Daimit and Evan. The Warren Kedushin says, an Evan whom it fights. The Yetzihara is like a stone. As he writes, yes, slave Evan Mibsarchem, the Pasuk says. I will remove the heart of stone. And the Tyra is Daimit to an eight. Ki eight chayimi. It is a tree of life. It's Daimit to a tree. He says, a person fights his Yetzihara, at the end of the day, it's Yatzah Behem. He works very hard, he keeps away from Chet, but he hasn't made progress. But if he does it through Torah, he does it through Limud HaTorah, that's the way he fights his Yetzihara. So besides gaining the fact that he doesn't have Chet, also Yisachem Bam, he warms up with the Torah. I don't see the Mashah here, so it must have been somebody else that says it. Come to Gemara Vayit. Reb Chanina Aymer. So we're up to the Simon, Zera, Rava, Misharsha, Chanina. Now, Chanina, I mean, call you may anam roiv, zez, mishesh, isha ra. Maral explains very simply. Most of a person's life, he's around his wife. And if he has a bad wife, he's got a hard time. The person has a good wife, makes up for a lot of other things that he doesn't have in life. And therefore, the Maral says very simply, that's his companion throughout life. And a companion that makes life difficult, makes a difficult life. And a companion that makes life sweet makes for a sweet life. That's all. Very simple. Rabbiana, I may call you may only wrong to istinus. It is a person that's finicky. His character trait, he's a very finicky person, very delicate. Things bother him. He gets very queasy about things. So he's always in a bed. He's always worried. He's always. The type like Mishnah Tamid, Deshadai Tayafa. Somebody that has no problem, but he's not finicky at all, he's not delicate. Has less problems in life. He doesn't have to worry about things that the finicky, delicate people worry about. Like the guy that's afraid to touch and afraid to go and afraid to do it. It adds many difficulties to his existence because he worries, he's so delicate and takes everything so, and I don't know what word to use, But the person who's not a delegate can handle things, rolls with the punches much better. He's the one that type wave Mishnah Tamid. He can deal with it.
Is all this from the same sefer?
No, these are statements to explain the pasuk of Mishlei. We're finished with Ben Zira. Rashi Yisachin Yichamim. So that's what Rabbi Chanina said, and Rabbi Yanai. So if you notice, it said Chanina says Taivya. He says Isha Taiva. And Yana, all of a sudden we started saying what they say in the Siman. Rav Zera, Rav and Rav Masharshia, we're talking about people. The people who do things. And now we're talking about possessions or character traits. So Rav Chanina said it's Isha Taiva, and Yanai said Lev Yafa, Daita Yafa. Rav Yechanan, he's going to say Merache. Yes. I'm listening, but let's go. Yeah.
Yeah. So people make a mistake and think Chas V'Shalom is Shdirush.
Yeah.
So Chazal say this is what it means, right?
Right.
Okay. So why don't we say the same thing? Take the sefer out, learn Ben Zira, right? Oh, you have a couple problems with it. This is what Chazal say it means.
But it had nothing to say about the thick beard and the light beard.
You couldn't say anything about it. I mean,
no, I guess not.
You don't have to be
no offense to your question, but you can't be Madama Tyra to Ben Zira. Ben Zira is not part of Tyra. Tyra is written by the Rabbi Nishloelem, and Ben Zira was written by a very smart person, who was a very Meyuchas, he was the son of Yirmi Anavi, but it's not Suvim. I mean, if you would write nice words of wisdom, you're a great guy, you write words of wisdom, but I'm not going to sit and toil over your words of wisdom if they don't make sense. They're not so wise. A person who is a very merciful person has a difficult time. You know, you open the news and you listen to what happens and you're a Rachman, it's very difficult. Now, it's not telling people to be cruel. But Lamaisa, cruel people have less worries than people who are merciful. The people who are merciful are in constant anguish over things that go bad. People who can let it bounce off of them and they don't let it become personalized have an easier time dealing with it. It's not encouraging cruel behavior. It's saying the reality is people who are not Rachmanim deal with current events much better than people who are Rachmanim. That's all it's saying.
Rabbi?
Yes. The Mepharshim are bothered by that. They're saying they're not saying Taiv Lev that he's getting Olam Haba. And it's not saying that Taiv Lev is that what he's supposed to be. The Taiv Lev means he insulates his heart. So he's at good heart. Meaning the fact that 6,000 people got killed in an earthquake doesn't affect his morning coffee. His morning coffee is just fine and he can have his Danish and it doesn't bother him. Whereas the Rachmani hears that 6,000 people get killed, he ain't eating his Danish. He just can't do it. He just can't function normally, so bothered by the thing that happened.
So in this context, it's more like a protected heart.
It's a protected heart, right, correct.
Is the person born with a malach tamid have to, like, come before the Ben Shalom like other things and say that you're being cruel or compassionate?
People are born with different character traits, even though that's not so simple, not so clear. But we'll assume that way. People are born with different character traits. There are people that are born more merciful than others. It's a fact. But every person has good character traits, and every person has flawed character traits. Some get a better package than others. But the bottom line is, it's a person's obligation to make the best and improve their character traits. That's part of what a person's got to do in this world, become a better person. Better person means to take those flawed character traits. Now, we don't know how to judge it, right? We can meet Mr. Person that we think is very cruel, and he's come a long way from how cruel he used to be. The Rabbi Nishmael knows that. To us, he's still cruel, right? So we can't judge these things. That's why we're not supposed to be judging people. But the bottom line is, a person has to work on his character traits. That's the job of a person in this world, working your character traits. Everybody gets a different package. Some people are nicer, some people are not so nice. Some people are too giving, some people are not giving at all. And, you know, everybody has to find the right balance.
Don't we say,
they have a tendency to Rachmanim. You know, again, my Rebbe, Rabbi Weinberg, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, used to explain that Derech HaMamutza does not mean have giving and not have giving. It means using the trait in its right way. being in control of your character, rather your character in control of you. That's how he learned Derech HaMamotza. Every midah has its use. There are times that one has to be cruel. There are times that one has to be merciful. The merciful person doesn't know when not to be merciful. The cruel person doesn't know when not to be cruel. The Derech HaMamotza does not mean 50% of the time be cruel and 50% of the time be merciful. That's what it means. He said Derech HaMamotza means using your character trait the way the Torah would want you to use it. Right? The Gemara says, Marakim al Achzarim, Seifer Lias Achzari al Rachmanim. If somebody is merciful on the cruel, he'll be cruel on the merciful. Meaning, if a person doesn't use his character traits right, he uses them wrong, the opposite way. The point of being Derech HaMamotza means that the person's character is to use those traits the way the Torah wants. That's a hard job. It's a very hard job. It's to dominate character rather than letting character dominate us. And that's pretty difficult. But that's what Rabbi Weinberg always explained, is the Derech HaMamotza. The person who gives shouldn't be too giving. What do you mean? 50% of the time he gives tzedakah. It depends on the need, it depends on the person, it depends on the thing. He has to make the decision what the Torah would want him to do in those circumstances. Rabbi Shulman Levi, I call you may Ani Roim, Zeshadaitik Tzara. Ani Roim means someone who is, how does he translate Zaitik Tzara? He worries. He's a worrying person. That's what Rashi says. What?
Short tempered.
That's the second shot in Rashi. The first shot in Rashi is, he's a worried person. Constantly worried. And he doesn't worry. He's able to deal with his worries better. He's not a worrying person. Rashi, he's always worried about what's going to happen to this guy and to this guy. And he's worried about what's going to be tomorrow, what's going to be the next day. The second shot Rashi learns in Shnakrina, Daitik Tzara, Ragzon. Daitik Tzara means he's a tempered person. A person with a hot temper is called Yimei Ani Roim. He's always angry. And a person who can control his temper is a more laid back kind of an individual, has an easier life in this world. He's not losing it.
So Rabbi says the thing about the people, 6,000 people died in Miami, whatever it is. It doesn't mean it's the right thing, right? Not to worry about it, right? He just says the fact.
I said the Rachmani will have a harder time dealing with it. And Achzari will let it bounce off of that. I did not condone cruelty, no. Nobody's telling a person to be cruel. It's telling you a fact.
That's all. All these are just facts. That's saying what's better.
Right. It's saying a fact.
It's not saying which is better.
Well, it's not saying whether it's better. Of course, well, we can figure out what's better. I would think it's better not to be an Achzari.
No, I'm saying the 6,000 people died by Afra, right? Should I worry about that or say, you know what? It's them, it's not me. It's not a yid.
Having to worry wasn't the message.
That's what I thought I said also. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I don't think that we're encouraging cruelty now.
Just like a doctor has to amputate a limb. So it can't be Achmonis.
Exactly. As Mr. Isinger said, there's room for Achzarias. The doctor has to go do an amputation, Rachman al Islam. If he's going to have Rachmanis, you're not going to do it. It has to get done. That's when the meat of Achzarias, so to speak. It's true Rachmanis, but he has to act in a cruel fashion.
So who's better, the guys?
There's no better in this. What?
Who's better, the guy? Even the Danish, the guy who can't eat the Danish.
Again. It's a very hard sequel, I'll tell you why. The guy who's too much Rachmanis can't function. Again, is that... I think he's better. I think, honestly, I think that's the guy that's better. But anyway, I'd rather be in his shoes. That's the Gemara Vayter. I'm Rabbi Shul Ben Levi. Again, does that mean that the person should have Rachmanis to the point of non-functioning? Not necessarily. No. He has to learn how to deal with his Rachmanis and be able to function even though he's bothered, you know. It can't let it paralyze the person, exactly.
But Rabbi, you said,
exactly. That's what I was trying to say. We're not saying, I didn't want to say we're not saying better or worse, because it's better not to be hot-tempered. But it's not negayas now, we're just saying the fact. A hot-tempered person doesn't enjoy life. If you want to encourage a person to work in his temper, you say, forget everything else, you're just not living a good life. You're killing yourself more than anything else. You call your mate Ani Roim. You're always...
And the opposite is, you say, oh, sure, have a great time. Don't care about anybody. Go ahead.
Right.
Party.
Right.
That's also a negative.
Of course. That's what I'm saying. We're not encouraging behavior. We're saying statements of what character trait does to a person. Not necessarily is it good, but this is what happens. That Rabbi Shimon Levi call you may ani roim. Pasuk says call you may ani roim. They can Shabbos and Yom Tov. Rashi says everybody has food for Shabbos and Yom Tov. So even the ani has no difficulty pulling food on for Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's how Rashi learns. The Yaivitz is bothered by that. He says everybody has food for Shabbos and Yom Tov. Is that such a fact? Rashi says she'ein loch ani shem Yisrael she'ein lemadanim. There's no poor person in Klal Yisrael that doesn't have sweets for Shabbos. So the Yaivitz questions that fact. I mean, I don't argue with Rashi. But the Yaivitz wants to learn that even the poor person, at least on Shabbos, he doesn't have to go out and collect. At least on Shabbos, he doesn't have to worry where he's going to get the next meal, because he can't do anything about it anyway, so the one day he's off. So in fact, the Gemara, if Shabbos is Yom Tovim, that he's more relaxed. That the Gemara can be Shmuel, the Amr Shmuel, Shinu
Vest.
That's the Yaivitz discussion. Because the Shmuel, the Amr Shmuel, Shinu Vest, Chilus Chalimayim. Shmuel says, even then he's not well, because if a whole week you eat dry bread and on Shabbos you get chont, your stomach goes. Very simple. You cannot change your way of food eating in a big contrast. The ani, his Shabbos and weekday are so contrasting that he ends up becoming ill from the contrast. And therefore, that's why even Shabbos ends up being a difficult day for him. He finally has got good food, but his stomach's not used to good food. And there goes Chayil Lamaya. Rashi? What? The Ivet, I don't know. I guess the Ivet says that he has chayim ayim. Yeah, if he doesn't have food, was he have chayim ayim? I don't know what he does. Rashi shina vest, mishana vest, leichol yaiser, sheina rogel leichol. He eats more things that he's not accustomed to eat. Haynu tchilas chayim ayim. The fichah chavilu shabbos is yam to broim like. That's the Gemara advice. Tana rabbanan. And now we get involved in a piece of Gemara that again has halachic consequences. I will read a Mishnah Berurah who's very machmer. The Velt is Naeg L'Hakul. There are Achroinim that are Meku, and obviously the world has accepted those Achroinim's Kulus, so we're not here to paskin and tell people they're doing wrong. I am going to point out the issue. I'm going to read the Mishnah Berurah, and we'll leave it at that. I will say that Achroinim are Meku, and there's no doubt in my mind that by and large, 90%, that's a made up percentage, but it's overwhelming majority of Klal Yisrael is Meku. How do I about it? Hakayra pasuk shal Shir Hashirim. One who reads the pasuk of Shir Hashirim, the Isaac commits zemer, and he makes it like a song. Hakayra pasuk b'beis mishtas, or one who reads a pasuk in a place of drinking, the lies manai, not in the correct time, meaning it's not Yom Tov. Yom Tov he would be reading about Yom Tov, but this is not about Yom Tov. It's the middle of the week. Maybe raw loylam. Brings bad unto the world. The Torah, I'm going to read the Gemara before you get to Halakha L'Maris. I want to read to the two dots. The Torah puts on a sackcloth. By Medicine Fact, Kodesh Baruch, when it stands in front of the Rabbi Nishloim, by Medicine Fact, one of them says, Rabbi Nishloim, the master of the universe, Asunu Benecha, your children made me kekinor, like a harp, Shemanazim by Leitzim. That the cynics, the people who take life very not seriously, are sing with. Amalabiti. So the Rebbeinu says, my daughter, what should they do when they eat and drink? Amalavana Rebbeinu Shlom, and Bali Mikrahim, if they know how to read Chumash, Yasku, Matarib, and Vim Ksuvim. They should learn Chumash, and Nach. If Bali Mishnahim, Yasku, Bamishnah, Bamishnah, Balochus, and Bagodas. And Bali Talmudhim, Yasku, Bukhus, Apesach, Bapesach, Bukhus, Ataris, Bataris, Bukhus, Chag, Bukhag. Let them learn. Hey, Reb Shimon ben Elazar, Meshum Reb Shimon ben Chananya, Kaira Pasik Mizmanai, somebody reads the Pasik in the correct time, maybe Taiva Le'ailam. Shanama Vedavar Be'itam HaTaiv, a thing in its time, how good. Now there are those that learn that this is limited to Psukim and Shir HaShirim. It says, Kala Kaira Pasik B'Shir HaShirim Ve'Aisai Sikim in Temer. There were certain people that refrained from singing Psukim and Shir HaShirim. Because of that, the Gemara seems to single out Shir HaShirim, which is a song of songs, and said that Isaacim and Zemer may be Ra Le'ilam. There were people that did not sing songs made in Shir HaShirim. They will not sing a song from Shir HaShirim because it is Gemara. However, Rashi doesn't learn that way. There are, I think even Rashidim don't learn that way, but Rashi doesn't. Rashi clearly states, Kalapayim applies to Shir HaShirim, Isaacim and Zemer. Shekairim bin Egina Achara Sheinu Nakirba. He reads it without the trap. But Isaacim and Shir. Afal Pishim and Shir HaShirim Hu. Even though it's part of the Song of Songs, the Ikra Shir, and it's created as a song, you're only supposed to sing it out with a truck, not with any others. So according to Rashi, it's not only Shir HaShirim, it's also Shir HaShirim. And Rav Moshe points that out. Rav Moshe, this Tshuva, where he talks about putting psukim on tape and song, where he's machmer, he writes that Rashi didn't say only Shir HaShirim, Rashi says also Shir HaShirim. Therefore he says other psukim, if anything, are more chomer than Shir HaShirim. Like Gemara is saying, even Shir HaShirim, one cannot sing without the trap. For sure, other psukim. Others want to say only Shir HaShirim. Again, we'll get to that locha in a few minutes. Akai repasig b'meis mishtoaz b'lois manai b'meis av ayenai isis chikaisa b'divri taira. He makes his happy times with divri taira. The akai repsukim b'kol ram l'sachik b'hem b'nei amishta. So they should enjoy. Avam aymer b'zman ala mishta gonshu yamtav v'naikul kais b'yadav aymer ala divri hagadah psukim in yana shayayim. If you read Sukkim Minyana Shayim, maybe Taiva the Ilam, he brings Taiva to the world. So, by the way, something that I read in Gariah is that when you sit by Shabbat Kiddush and you say the Shamru, you should hold your cup. Because you're saying Sukkim, Rashi says, the night of Kais Biyadai, the Aimer Allah Divri Hagadim Sukkim. So, someone bring Gariah that you should pick up your cup, not by Alkin Beirach, but when you're saying the Sukkim, the night of Kais Biyadai, the Aimer Allah Sukkim. Now, what's the halacha l'maaseh about singing songs of Yom Tov, and you're singing songs of Yom Tov? It's mutter. In Shul, they say, if you're singing songs with Kfeid HaTaira, then it's mutter. Like Simchas Taira, or Yom Tov by Howl, that nobody seems to have problems with. What people have problems with is, let's say, to sing a pasuk in the middle of a Wednesday, and you want to sing a song from a pasuk in Tanakh. Are you allowed to, or are you not allowed to? Now again, as I started off saying, Rav Klal Yisrael is matter. And the reason they're matter is because they learned that Rashi, the Gemara is only answering if a guy does a derech schaik. You notice Rashi said, Isis chakaisav, the kairib sukkim v'koram, l'sachig v'hem b'nei ha-mishta. So Rashi seems to make it say that the issue is because it's being made into a joke, being made into a loose thing. Now some songs might qualify, but that's l'sachig v'hem b'nei ha-mishta. Right? That's what Rashi says. Some say, but there's nothing to do with Isaacim and Zemer. There's two things here. There's Zemer, and there's Kairib Sukkim Lusakik Behem. Kairib Sukkim doesn't mean sing Sukkim, it means saying Sukkim as a mockery. But the first part is making it as a song, is a separate issue. The Mishnah Brura is a machmer. I will read the Mishnah Brura again. We are not paskening here. The Mishnah Brura brings the Magen Avraham. It says over here, Kvarnogu Kol Yisroel. Mechaber says, Tuf Kuf Samach, Sif Gimel, the Mechaber says, "Kadogu Kol Yisrael Loi Medivrei Shir Divrei Tishbochos or Shir Shel Hedoyz." The Zikrin Chazdei Hakadosh Baruch Hu Alayayin. We say praise over wine. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat Yudalit says, "Kasev Lekutei Maril Shloi Kedin Hu Shemisharim BeMishta Oitcha Kanisani." The pasuk Oitcha Kanisani, I praise you, Hashem, for you have afflicted me and saved me. Shouldn't sing it at parties. When people get together at a party, they should not be singing. Taira puts on a sackcloth and says, "Asuna benechuk minzemer." After the Beis Knesses, virgolim mitzvah lezamer. That's why the Magen Avraham says that Shabbos, by your meal, you should only sing the songs that are made for Shabbos songs. That's what you should sing, not other psukim. At piyuta macherim haser. Sit down by Shabbos meal, you open up your book on Shabbos, sing the songs for Shabbos. Do not sing Stam Sukkim because it's nothing to do with Shabbos and you have no right to sing it. Mishnah Berurah paskens that. On the bottom, he says, does he say anything here? What does he see? Sivkatan Yudalim. Sivkatan. Yeah. I think he means Rav Shlomo Zalman. I don't know who his rabbi is. This is Rabbi Nevin Salt, Avigdor Levi Nevin Salt. So I'm not sure who he calls Adoni Mareini Rabbeinu. Pasuk Yesh Luzar Meloshir Pasuk Lahanoa Ba'alma. You should not sing a pasuk for pleasure. Rakim Maybe Risiris Chuv Tyra Chuva. You're allowed to do it if it brings to a person to be more awakened to Tyra and Chuva. Again, I'm not changing here. I wanted to point out that it is an issue dealt with in halacha. However, the Velt seems to be naig l'kula. I think based on the fact that we feel that singing psukim and things like that is ma'ayir us to be better Jews. Yes. That doesn't bother anybody.
It doesn't bother anybody as long as we're using it because they're popular melodies and would get people to participate. Then it's okay.
We look at it as if it's Ma'ira people to be more into the davening, into the... However, I want to make... it does bother us if it has religious sources.
Right.
But that is a problem.
Many of these were like drinking songs from beer halls.
Absolutely. All the songs, a lot of the songs that we brought along from Europe were Polish songs and Russian songs. They don't seem to have a problem with it. The main problem that the Achronim deal with is songs that had a religious source, whether we can bring that in to use it for our religion. But that's not because it's not Jewish, that's because it might be a Shir Shavet Zara, which is a different thing completely. No, but that doesn't seem to bother anybody. As long as we're not singing the words they use to it, we're singing different words to it. And we're using it as a cyrus, not as a... Now, this is the shaila about making tapes with psukim. Rav Moshe Acher is making tapes with psukim. But he says once it's made, you can listen to them. So Rav Moshe writes. Again, this is a big shaila. We're not basketing here. We know this is not our locus here. I do want to point out that there are achronim that are mekel, because they say that our songs are not made to mock. Our songs are made to make people besimcha, to serve the Rebbeinu Shloim, to create an atmosphere of positive avodas Hashem, and therefore the slow songs, the happy songs, to make a simcha and avodas Hashem. So therefore, the Velt is mekel. The ma'aseh, that's the minhag ha'olam, is that we're mekel. We get together by mesiba, we sing songs. I sat with Gdaili Yisrael at mesibas, and they sang songs. They had people sing songs, and they didn't stop them because it is halacha. So therefore, I think the pshat is, the hetzer is it's done with iris, l'tayra, l'tshuva, and therefore, that's why we are mekel on it. Now, enochinami, if it was not done with iris, l'tayra, l'tshuva, sometime, that might be a question, again, not halacha. Just wanted to bring it up, because this is the Gemara that's the source.
I'm surprised you ever said that. I mean,
what are you surprised that I said?
If I was a troll, I'm going to say something now. Let's say there used to be a group called the Carpenters.
I can't hear you. I'd love to hear this.
There used to be a group called the Carpenters. You heard of them?
No.
Okay, it's irrelevant. It's way before Ray was born. And if you were to take a tune from them without their words and put in words I don't for Kelado and I'll call us, you know, I would freak out.
That's because it wouldn't devour you. But you know where it comes from. But if you knew where some of the songs come from, you'd freak out too and you sing them. See, I agree that if you recognize the source of the song, it might keep you from getting the Osiris, the Tyra, the Tshuva. Most of the people singing the song don't know the source of the song. And therefore it is Myra, the Tyra, the Tshuva, and therefore it's fine. A lot of the songs we sing have Gaisha sources. That's a reality. I'm telling you reality. I'm not making this up. It's reality.
The song War is true.
Now, I know. I don't know who the Carpenters are. I'll be honest. I think you use that to cover up for somebody else. That's what I assume.
Is that done along the Beach Boys?
Where?
In the shul that you don't frequent.
Okay. Again, the Achronim deal with Shiria. I will say the following. I should add another one. The Achronim do also deal with a song that its words were inappropriate. Now, drinking songs and beer and things are usually, I don't know much about drinking songs, but they talk about love songs. Can you use a song that was used as a love song and bring it into shul? They do talk about that. Or they have problems with that as well. But a song that was used for the famous one is the Bales of Cotton that we sing on Purim all the time. What? Mishnech Nusader or other songs. Hashem Elokei Yisrael came from, I'm not going to tell you all the sources of all the songs, right? But they come from different things that the Achronim don't seem to have a problem. They do have a problem with religious songs, and I think they have a problem they call Shirei Agavos, which are love songs. Yes, right. Famous story, at least the legend has it, that one of the big Chassidish Rebbes heard a shepherd singing a Hungarian tune, And he paid him for it. He paid him for it. He went over and he said, can I buy the tune from you? And he paid him for it, and then the guy could never sing it again. He forgot it totally. And it's a famous Chassidic song that they sing by All Hungarian Chassidim, that the Kav Rebbe made up using that tune, talking about the yearning for the Geula. And they say that when he paid the guy off, he bought the tune, the guy could never sing it again, he couldn't remember. So they say. So that's the Gemara Vayit. Haloi Chesh Alamaka. Amar Rabbi Yechanan. Uberaikigba. Now this is the new part thing. You're not allowed to say a pusik over a maka. So Rabbi Yechanan says, it's only if you spit on the maka, after you say the pusik, before you said the pusik. So first you spit on the maka, and then you say a pusik, so it looks like you're saying the pusik over your spitting. And that's a denigrating thing to do, and therefore it's answer. Rashi, Bereikik, the Rashi, Shekin Derech Malachashim, Lerakik Kaidim Halachash, to spit before they say their. Lachash is a. What?
Incantation.
But also the Haskar Pasuk Alachisha, you're not supposed to say a Pasuk at the incantation. There are lachashim that you say the incantation and then spit. And you say it in a foreign language, not Lashon Kodesh. And they say the name of Hashem in a foreign language. That's mutter. It's only us if you say the pasuk after you spit. The nearer shemaskar Hashem al rikika. Isser is in Lashon Kodesh, not in another language. So Rashi is being makel here, that if one spits and then says the incantation, or if one says the incantation in a different language, it would not be called Leichesh al
Rikikam. Why is he moving in the world to
come? Denigrating a pasuk in the Torah. Now again, it means he does this on a constant basis. I don't know if it means he does it once. I know, but he's denigrating Torah. You know what I mean? You can put on Rabbeinu Tam still, and if you denigrate Torah, it's not a good idea. I mean, this guy's mouth may have had to rub him. Otherwise, he puts on Rabbeinu Tam still.
We're not in that. That's a different discussion. I'm talking about this.
No, but the same way you answer that, obviously there are certain behaviors that just takes away the fact that you put on Rabbeinu Tam still. I know what Rabbeinu Tam did today, but, right, I have no idea what these incantations were, that they worked or they didn't work. If they didn't work, it's a Shiloh of Darki and Myri, so obviously they did work. Rav Amar, I feel the Neged Saras, even a Pasuk that doesn't have the name of Hashem. Even Neged Saras, Kisiyah Ba'adah Behubah La'akayim. And he says that, L'shem Refuah, according to Rashi, on Rikika, is Ein Lechelik V'Elam Abam. Rav Chanina Matul Ve'Yikra Maisha. Even a Pasuk has nothing to do with Refuah, nothing to do with anything. Says a Pasuk, it's Ein Lechelik V'Elam Abam. Now, the Rambam paskins that even without Rikika, it's Aser. The Rambam says, Rashi seems to say it's only if one spits first. The Rambam says, even without spitting first, it is Aser. Rashi. The Rashi, I feel the Neged Saras, I feel the Loichesh Kra, the less Beishem Shemayim. He says a pasuk that, what's the verb for incantation? Incants? Even in incants, a pasuk that has no Shem Hashem Alarikika. Shekari Neged Saras, Kisiya Ba, the Bubal Akai, and the Shem Rafua, and the Chelik Malamaba. I feel the Beikra Maisha Shem, but Loichaili, the Loich Nega, no mention of illnesses or plagues. They ain't boy the loch shalamaka. They maskir the shame refuah like a summer who the nuts will beschus divre taira. He's saying it to the schus of taira should save heal him. Also the loch shay. We don't use taira as a healing product. However, the rishayim speak out. We do use taira as protection. Before we go to sleep at night, we save sukkim that are to be masalos from azikin. But we don't use taira to heal. We only use taira to protect. No, the spitting was part of the incantation. It had to do with the saying the pasuk over spitting is a denigrating thing. That's what Rashi learned. The Rambam learned saying the pasuk over a maka is wrong without spitting. So that's the Gemara Vayit. Pen Rabbah. A person is allowed to smear and rub in oil into his intestines on Shabbos. Meaning, and it's not a question of refuah. Now, Rashi in Shabbos says the reason it's not a question of refuah is because healthy people do it as well. And anything that healthy people do is not called refuah. Right? A person that has a cold can drink a hot tea. Because there are people that drink hot teas even when they don't have colds. If only people with colds drank hot tea, it would be a question of refuah. But since people drink hot teas without colds, so the person with colds can drink a hot tea as well. So the same thing, that's what Rashi and Shabbos says. Healthy people used to smear themselves with oil. So this person who's doing it for refuah purposes, he's not doing anything different than the person that's healthy. Therefore, it's not refuah. Rashi here doesn't say that. Rashi here says something else. Because rubbing is similar to drinking. The question is, what does Rashi need this for? The Iglei Tau, Abnezer, the Iglei Tau on Hilchos Shabbos, asks, he doesn't understand Rashi. Why can't Rashi just say, because it's not a refuah? So he wants to say that not everything that healthy people do can an ill person do for refuah. Only eating and drinking, since we eat and drink, so anything that a healthy person eats and drinks, a non-healthy person can eat and drink as well as Shem Refuah. However, any act that healthy people do, but this person is ill, so when he does it, people view it as a Refuah, and therefore it's Aser. He wants to tie it as a difference between drinking a hot tea and doing something else, even though healthy people do it when they're not sick as well. But if it's when people see a sick person do it, they say, he's doing it for Refuah. If it's a not food and drink, it's Aser. Therefore, Rashi is saying, smearing oneself is like drinking. So just like by drinking, we let people drink hot tea, so we let people smear oil. But had smearing not been like drinking, we would say, healthy people can, people that are sick can't, because if a person sees a sick person does it, he says it's l'refuah. Now, I by tea, he might say the same thing. By eating and drinking, they didn't make the iser. So because sichus tishtia, it was not included in the iser, since healthy people do it also. That's how the Abnezer explains this Rashi.
What was the
I have no idea what it does for the person, how it heals them. I don't know, and I don't know why healthy people used to do it either, but they used to do it all the time. No. So I knew that was coming up. See, smearing is an iser malacha if it's something thick, but if it's something thin, there's no iser smearing, right? If you right, this came up last year. We talked about the hand soap, right? And Rav Baruch said that if you put your hand like this and it flows down, it spreads out. It's no iser mamarech. Mamarech is to take toothpaste, right, and smear it in would be mamarech. To take Vaseline and smear it in would be mamarech. Take wine and smear it in would not be mamarech. Now the question is, at what viscosity level does it turn to mamarech? This is a big shaila in Achraidim. That's why there are those that don't use liquid soap, only if they thin it out first before Shabbos, right? So it gets a question at what point, at which viscosity level does it become a marech. Oil, the Gemara says, is not a problem. The oil they used, Shemen Zayas, which was usually Shemen Zayas, was not a problem of a marech on Shabbos. The Gemara always talks about smearing oil on Shabbos. So obviously the viscosity level of oil is such that if you turn it like this, it pours right out. And therefore, no problem of Mamarach and Shabbos. But Vaseline, which when you turn like this doesn't go anywhere, is definitely a problem of Mamarach and Shabbos.
I can put two handles tonight.
Again, it has to do, I'm not, if I say it's mutter, everybody's going to, I didn't, it depends on its viscosity level. The more liquidy it is, the less iser it is, correct. Wasn't it, what was the Shiloh Perel, was it called? The, he was Matur. No, wasn't he Matur then?
When it, if it doesn't drop,
it spreads out. That's what he said. Right.
But if you're doing for refuah, not derech, like not derech.
If, this is the thing, you're a person that has a cold can drink a tea lerfuah. Because healthy people do the same. In those days, healthy people used to smear themselves with oil.
They do healthy people put lotion on their hands?
Today?
Yes.
He says yes. And people don't wash their hands with hand sanitizer all day. But hand lotion.
But you have other problems. But one with somebody with chapped hands can't put thin oil on their hands on Shabbos.
Again, it depends if people normally do this without having chapped hands.
Yeah,
It's behavioral. This is driven by cultural behavior. So he says people do it, he says people don't, and I don't know. So that's the end of the story.
I don't understand. So what about a medicine that you need to take that is by definition topical and has to be smeared? It's an antibiotic.
So it has to be globed on, cannot be smeared on. That's halach. Now, refuah, there's two issues. There's the rabbinic issue of refuah, which for antibiotic we are matter. Because antibiotic is an infection. Infection is called cholin kol gufay. Any person suffering from infection is called sick enough that it affects his whole body. We live in an age of antibiotics, so we don't view people with infections as being sick. We say, oh, he's just taking antibiotics, he's fine. In reality, a person with an infection is a person that's not well. He's not taking that antibiotic, he's going to be in danger. And therefore, the issur refuah does not apply to antibiotics. So the part of the refuah, the rabbinic problem of taking medicine on Shabbos, which applies to anybody who is uncomfortable, who is not ill, uncomfortable, in pain, but not severe pain, that doesn't apply to antibiotics. There's a biblical problem of taking the ointment and smearing it in. That, unless a person is in acute, in danger, that if he doesn't take it, it can be dangerous, there's no heter. So therefore, what we tell people to do is glob it on. There's two ways to glob it on. You can either glob it on your hand, or a person can glob it on something that he puts on his hand. Now, what happens when he puts it on his hand, it might spread a little bit, but he's not rubbing it in, that's one. So we tell people it's negeya for kids with diaper rash, things like that. We tell people to just put a glob there, not go into a smearing motion. That's the psak halacha. Yes?
So if a person is on an aspirin regimen, that person would be allowed to take the aspirin on Shabbos as well?
I assume the person is in an aspirin regimen because of heart condition. Anything that has to do with the heart, we consider
preventative, like if the doctor says.
Well, the doctor has him on that because of a heart issue. And therefore, I would advise the person to take.
Sure.
Especially if he's taking it every day, which we call is the most important for. We're not learning hocus pocus now, but I would not tell the person not to take the aspirin.
Is there anything also?
No. One has nothing to do with the other. Why?
Why? Because
that's for food, and that's not.
The problem is the food business, the medicine is because you might end up.
Chazal made an ister, they made a terim to the ister. That's it. The aspirin is allowed to take because that's necessary. That's the Chazal considering kol and kol gufay. And the cold medicine is not allowed to take because cold medicine is uncomfortable. Yes, his nose is running. It's not good. He might sneeze five times, but he's not sick.
The same thing. The issue on the medicine is because he might come to grind, right?
Again, the Chazal made parameters to that issue. They made exceptions. Cold is not one of them.
If he has to take aspirin, but he has to grind something.
He's not allowed to grind it, no. But that's rabbinic, and that's biblical. There's a rabbinic issur of taking refuah. Now, Ramesha, we talked about this in Shabbos, Ramesha says that even though we don't grind anymore, there are many other malachas a person can do in the quest of medicine. So, medicine's usur. Unless Chazal made a heter. They made the heter for the aspirin, they did not make the heter for the cold medicine. Depending on if the person is dead with a cold, then he's called a kogufa, he's not full of mishkov. We're talking about a regular cold, not a flu that incapacitates him. We're not dealing with that. I don't want to get involved in that. I don't want to be able to.
Cold gufa, that's the kind of you can take?
Medicine. Not the rices, rabbanon. There's an issur rabbanon called refuah. That issur rabbanon does not apply to someone who's nafal lemishkov, kola kol gufa.
Avapi shalos takana.
Avapi shalos takana, right. In Hebrew, we'll say that. Right. Titus. Right. It's called Chaylus She'en Bo Takana. That's how Halacha refers to it.
But Kol Gufa, if you have to be in bed, I mean, you have to be.
Kol Gufa can be an infection, he's not in bed. But it's considered Kol Gufa, it's even considered Sapik Takana. Every infection is considered Sapik Takana. Because this infection can be dangerous. Baruch Hashem, we live in an era that we brush aside infections because of the Baruch Hashem, the Rabbi Hashem gave us antibiotics. But infections are inherently dangerous. They're not really Dwam Shamabakah. Really not. And a person has an infection, should treat it. People die from infections. Read it. People get Rahman al-Islam antibiotic resistant infections and they die. Because it's an infection. It's the same infection if it doesn't respond to the antibiotic. I think we'll stop with this.